Don't you be,
and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles
they don't last always. For there's a friend in Jesus
who will wipe your tears. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands
just
and say,
lift your hands and say, for I know that I can make it.
I know that I can
know
stand.
I can stand.
No matter
what may come my way,
my life is in
your hands.
Oh, with Jesus,
I can take it.
With him I know I can.
If you're glad to know him, give him praise. We magnify you, Lord. We bless your name. We lift you up. Glory, glory, glory. Aren't you glad for the love of God tonight? Hey, we praise you. Almighty God. Come on, just revel in the love of God here. I know what the devil said, and I know what the world did, but there's nothing here bigger than the love of God. Hey, the love of God hides a multitude of sin. The love of God can reach you wherever you are. Oh, he loves us. Mighty God, we praise you, we worship you, we lift you, oh God, we magnify. We magnify every heart, every hand, every voice. Hallelujah. We bless your name, oh God. We praise your name, oh God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. What a love, what a God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lay your hand on somebody by you or take somebody's hand. Just let that Holy Ghost flow. What a precious, precious presence of God. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Ah, what a glorious, wonderful God you are. Ah, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Nobody like you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lose yourself in it. Just step off in the deep end of that. Just be overwhelmed by the love of God. My God, what a good God. He loves us. He loves us. Oh, he loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing I've done, nothing I am, nothing I have. He's just a good God. What a good God. Praise God. Praise God. Ah, what a mighty God. What a worthy God. Praise God. I just love him. Praise him. What a good God. What a good God. What a good God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise, praise, praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. We are so blessed, and God is so good. I don't know what you're going through, but 500 years on the other side, all this is going to be a dim memory. We're just getting ready for what's on the other side. What a good God he is tonight. We're going to send an offering tomorrow to Brother Steve Buxton, who will be leaving on the 6th of December to go and help with a lot of the recovery work and just help those brethren in the Philippines to regather. And they were, many of them in some areas, already living in tarps and tents because of an earthquake a few weeks ago. And that storm came through and just blew everything. And it's just unimaginable chaos. And what we do here is just a little bit. There's nations that are rallying to support, but we as the people of God are going to target God's people there and try to bring them some comfort and strengthen them and get a place of worship for them, because we can't undo all that's broken there, but they're going to need a place to worship. They're going to need a place to stand and say, God is still good. And so some of this is going to be targeting that. And he's just going to see some of those church families and see what we can do. And I'm glad for us to have a part in that. Praise God. We're going to read tonight in Ephesians chapter 4 and finish out with the fourth chapter of Ephesians and move on into chapter 5. We're making our way through the New Testament. What a wonderful presence of God in this house tonight. Praise God. Is God doing good things in your life? Praise God. Praise God. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. It matters what you do. It matters how you live. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We've ranged from 4 and 31 to 5 and 12 there. And if you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. God, we praise you. We worship you. We thank you for the privilege to handle your word tonight, to know you in spirit and in truth. We bless your name, Almighty God. We thank you for the privilege, the power of your word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. John the Baptist is speaking in Matthew chapter 3 in verses 11 and 12. And he's forecasting the coming of the Christ and some aspect of his ministry, or an overview of the ministry of Jesus. 3 and 11, Matthew, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, speaking of Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner or into his barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is a description of the Middle Eastern threshing floor. This is a description of something that is still in use there unto this day. It's an area of hard packed clay or bricks or pavers where they take the harvest on the stalk and a process begins. You're taking that out of the field and you've brought it to a place to be worked on or to be processed. And this is what John says Jesus has come to do. His fan is in his hand, or some translations say a winnowing fork or a threshing fork. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and separate the wheat from the chaff. And so he's describing a process where the grain is taken out of the field and it's brought and it's thrashed or threshed on the hard surface. And what begins to happen in the process is the grain breaks away from the stalk. And then through the process of violence with a threshing fork or with a little light fire set in the midst of all of that, or a grinding procedure, somehow the husk is broken away from the grain. And as it develops, they'll throw that grain in the air. The wind will take the chaff. The heavier grain falls. And by the end of the process, he's got a nice pile of grain that's going to the barn to be used. And he's got a pile of chaff or waste that's going to be burned. Jesus didn't come to the earth to gather grain. He came to the earth to gather souls. And so this is a metaphor. This is a story about him taking you out of the world, out of the field, and bringing you to his threshing floor. He loves you. He really does. But if you stay in the world, you're going to be lost. And so he came to take you out of that worldly field, and he's going to bring you down to the threshing floor. And he loves you, but he's going to thresh you. There's got to be a separation. You've got to be separated from the world. And then you've got to be separated from your husk or your natural nature, your fleshly nature. And he's going to do that. He, with violence, is going to break you away from that. You're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some valleys. You're going to go through some pressure. You're going to go through some trouble. There's going to be some temptation in your life. And all of it is the design of God to separate you. And at the end, he's going to have that that's going in the fire and that that's going in his barn. And that's the story of redemption, and that's the story of salvation, and that's what God is going to do with us. But he's not just going to take you and place you on a silken pillow in the palace of God, but he's going to work you over until he gets you like he wants you. And everybody in the house said amen. And if you want God to work on you, say amen. Does anybody know that this hurts sometime? That sometimes it'll break you and sometimes it'll reduce you to tears. But God has a plan for you. And it's bigger than who you are right now. And it's better than what you are right now. And he wants to take you somewhere that you can't go like you are right now. But he knows how. He knows how to separate you from that Adamic nature or that fallen nature or those old habits or those old choices or those old relationships. He knows how to separate you from everything that's going to cause you to not hear his voice and not follow after you. This is just a day on the threshing floor. If you're in trouble today, I want you to know this is just another day on the threshing floor with God. I don't know what happened to you last week, but in the kingdom of God, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in his name, you just need to say, this is just another day on the threshing floor. And I may not know everything, and I may not be all that bright, but I do know this. I know which pile I want to be in when the process is over. I know where I want to be. I want to be in the barn of God when the process is over. I don't want to be on the pile that's going into the fire. Praise God. Joshua stood before the children of Israel and he just said, listen to me, you need to choose this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. This whole thing, every day, every step, everything we do is choice and decision. You go to hell, you will have arrived there by choice. If you go to heaven, there won't be anybody there but those who have said every day, I'm going to make it. I'm going to live for God. I choose to live for God. I choose to do the right thing. I choose to turn my back on sin. I choose to say no to the devil. I choose to experience the pain of extraction from the world. Because this world is our home. I know we sing this world is not my home, but this world is our beginning. In this world, we are made out of dirt. You can't get a greater affinity with the earth than that. We're made out of this stuff. And our senses are fashioned to respond to everything around us. And spiritual things are alien to us and sometimes offensive to us. Or you get into the presence of God some night in a little dark corner of your prayer sanctuary and the Holy Ghost of God really comes down in that place. It can terrify you, the presence of God. Everybody I know in the Word of God that came into the contact with a spirit, with an angel or God himself, most all of them fell on their feet, on their face like a dead man. They passed slap out. And I think we would too. I'm just telling you, it's alien to us. It's when Peter saw that great catch of fish, he said, God, get out of here. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I don't belong in your presence. When they saw him walking on the storm, they were more afraid of him walking on the storm than they were of the storm. Because he was walking in a place in the spirit that is alien to them. And so quite often these things seem to be alien to us. But you need to know that we are called and we are destined to have an eternity in a spiritual place, a spiritual relationship with God. And it takes energy and a proactive pursuit to break away from all of that that is not like God, that is typically like the earth and things earthy, and it is against your nature. You're like a salmon swimming upstream, and you got to swim every day or you'll lose all the ground that you've gained. Every day you've got to wake up and just say, I'm going to make my way back to the place of God. I'm going to make my way back into relationship with God, and I'm not going to lose what I've spent the last years working on. Today I've got to pray the prayer. Today I've got to make the confession. Today I've got to live a righteous life. It's just another day on the threshing floor of God. 1 Corinthians 11 and 19, Paul says to the church, there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. He said, don't worry about false doctrine rising up. That's all a part of the plan. It's like Deuteronomy chapter 13, where he says, if a prophet or dreamer comes and tells you something and it actually comes to pass, and then he says, now you've seen my sign, now come follow me and we'll go after other gods. The writer says, don't follow him, because it's the Lord your God who is testing you to see if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart. There has to be a test or there can't be a choice. And there has to be a choice or you don't by will expose your devotion to God. Everything in the kingdom swings on the hinge of human choice. It started with the garden and with the fruit and with the snake and with the woman. And it's been that way every day of your life. There's going to be a tree in your garden and there's going to be an opposition. But somebody's at the end. John sees a vast crowd standing around the throne of God from every nation and every tongue. And they're all worshiping and praising. And they've made it over to the other side. It's the grain of God that he's brought into his barn, and every one of them that are there, they lived day by day and they made choice by choice and decision by decision, and they said, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to make heaven my home. And every day was just another day on the threshing floor. There's going to be heresies that arise. There are going to be false prophets that arise, but it's just another day on the threshing floor. Praise God. This is a good day to live for God. This is a good day to live for God. Praise God. Everybody, that everything is perfect in your life and you don't have any trouble at all, you just shout your head off. Oh, and there's nobody here. Because everybody's got pressure and everybody's got trouble and everybody's got strain and everybody's got heartache and everybody's got disappointment and everybody walks through everything. He said, the prophet, the apostle said, don't think it's like some strange thing that's come upon you, this fiery trial. Everybody has that. If you live for God, you're going to go through the same thing. Everybody. That's what communion is. Communion speaks of our affinity with the things of God and the fact that we all, in the early church, they all drank out of the same cup. Some of you would have a hard time going back to the first century. You'd be breaking your neck to be first in line. But that communion cup is not simply that we all share the blood of Christ and the name above every name and the Spirit of God and his infinite word in our lives. But it also speaks of the fact that we drink from the same life experience. It's really what Jesus was talking about when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, if I don't have to drink from this cup, I let this cup pass from me. He was talking about his life experience. When we drink the cup together, we're saying we walk through the same life experiences. We fight the same devil. We have our feet are on the same ground together. We're tempted in like fashion, just like everybody else has ever lived for God. Somebody say praise the Lord. But it's a good day. I'm telling you, this is good. It's good to live for God. This is just another day on the threshing floor of God. Bring it on. Bring it on. You can't escape from this. You can go to a bar room, but it's still going to be there. You're still on the threshing floor. You can go to a drug house, but you're still on the threshing floor. You can run to the arms of another man or woman, but you're still going to be on the threshing floor. You're just choosing to numb your senses and to distract your attention and to act as though maybe I've escaped it. But friend of mine, there is no life like living for God. There is no joy like the joy of knowing I'm in the middle of this, but I've got a God right here with me that's going to see me through. What a message we heard tonight. I'm your God, and he listed everything he wanted to do for us, and he is mighty to deliver and mighty to save and mighty to heal. And how he loves us. Yeah, I'm on the threshing floor, but God is with me. It's his threshing floor. It's his winnowing fork. It's God's program. Praise God. So what I'm going through, I know he knows my tensile strength. He knows my breaking point. And I've got a trump card in my back pocket that says he won't let me be tempted beyond my capacity to stand. Have you read that? Do you believe that? Don't you know that if you're not broken yet, that he's not going to let you break and fall apart and die on him? He's going to keep you in the palm of his hand. Praise God. We're praying with the Magnolia family, and we're weeping with you. And the doctors have told Brother Joe he only has a few months, maybe. And I want him to, if he can, if he has strength, and if it works out, I want him to give his testimony here on a Sunday night. For those of you that don't know, years ago, Brother Joe was in business in New York, and on a dark street one night, a guy that thought he was going to shoot his partner came up and emptied a pistol in Brother Joe. Bow, 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 7 times, point blank. When he came to Birmingham, and he had bullet holes in his face and in his arms and in his neck. He lived. He didn't die. He had a mama. An Assembly of God mama that had a vision of him covered in blood. And she was travailing for him. And she was praying for him. When they moved to Birmingham, they went straight. They started finding themselves an apostolic church. They didn't know what apostolic was or what Pentecostal was. They didn't know anything about that. They found themselves. And they wound up going to Bible Tabernacle. And Russell Farmer taught them a Bible study. And they came into the kingdom of God. When that doctor brought him that word and said, Brother Jerry just told me this tonight, he said, I think maybe you just got a few months. Brother Joe just told him. He said, years ago, I was shot 7 times right here and said, God kept me and God didn't let me die. God spared him and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he was baptized in Jesus' name. And his children are on church pews tonight and his family is living for God and his grandbabies are in the aisles worshiping and praising God. God did that. God did that. But he went on, he told the doctor, he said, I didn't die. He said, and if he wants to take me now, I'm ready to go. He said the doctor began to weep. I think probably because the doctor said, this is the first time I've ever gotten that kind of response. He's probably used to folks falling through the floor, people full of denial and rage and weeping and falling apart. And Brother Joe said, I've already been down to the door of death, and God walked right down there with. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he said. And he said, and that doctor just began to weep. What a testimony. What a witness. He could have just told him, Doc, it's just another day on the threshing floor of God. You know what? You may have some idea about happily ever after here, but if you do, you're a fool. Nobody gets out of here alive. Nobody gets out of here without trouble, without pain. Everybody, unless God comes in a hurry, every one of us is going to leave in a box. Now, I really have some ideas about that, though. I'd really like for y'all to do a big bonfire, like the Indian pyre, you know. I hate all the box stuff and the flowers and all that stuff. If you could just torch me down by the creek or something like that, and when it's done, just kind of kick it over in the creek and let it wash down, and the people will be fishing me out for months to come. Oh, come on. You might as well get a little sense of humor about this. You're not getting out of here. This is another day on the threshing floor of God. And at the end, you're either going into the fire or you're going into the barn of God. But there is no other alternative. There's not another way. Anybody here made up your mind you're going to live for God? Anybody here made up your mind you're going to stand? My God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out of there. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? That just means you got to come out. What concord has Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believes with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God said, I'll dwell in them, walk in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. It's another day on the threshing floor of God. God wants to separate you. And some days he just comes down and by force breaks you away from something. But other days he says, now you got to leave that. You got to get out of there. You've got to leave him behind. You've got to leave her behind. You've got to walk away from that. That family tradition is killing your victory in God. You've got to break away from that. What fellowship can you have with Egyptian things? You can't. You've got to set your eye on the purpose and the prize of God. And you can't let anything get in your way. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Separate. It's just the function and the purpose and the process of the threshing floor. Ephesians 4 and 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. Let all that fall away on the threshing floor of God. By will and by choice. You're mad by choice. You have malice, you are offended, you're troubled about everybody around you. That is a function of will and choice. Let that be broken away from you and fall by the wayside on the threshing floor of God. Come on, this is about heaven. This is about living forever with God. You can't let something like that get stuck in your craw and stymie your praise and your worship to God. You've got to be bigger than that. You've got to make up your mind. It's another day on the threshing floor. 4 and 32 of Ephesians. Be kind to one another. Be nice. All this grumpiness and sarcasm and cynicism and being skeptical all the time and brooding and being angry and harsh words and mean things. And turn to your neighbor and say, God has called us to be kind. Tell him everything else has to fall away on the threshing floor of God. You know what God's plan is? God's plan is to whip you until you get nice. One guy said she used to beat us till we cried, and then she beat us until we cried softly. Oh, mama. But Jesus is going to beat you until you get all that rancor and malice and ugly spirit out of you. He's going to drag you through. You wonder why you're going through everything you're going through. You need to stand in front of a mirror and say, what is it in me that God would like to excise out of my spirit? That's a question you need to ask about yourself. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Anybody got a made up mind? I want to leave this junk on the threshing floor of God. Ephesians 5 and 1 then. Therefore be imitators, disciples, followers of God. Imitate God. Be like he. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And all the business and the teaching on love and the virtues and humility. And that's the profile he's looking for when he's looking at you. And the threshing floor is where he makes that happen. And he's changing you by his word and he's changing you by his spirit. But that crusty old earthly person has to be broken off of you. Be dear children, 5 and 2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet smelling savor. Jesus is a sweet-smelling savor. You know how we get to come into the presence of God? It used to be only the high priest could go into the presence of God. And he came into God's presence under the cloud of the incense that was burning. There was a sweet-smelling savor. You know what Jesus has become? He's become a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. So when I come in with all my brokenness and all my dysfunction and all my sin and everything, he said, you can come on in with your praise and with your worship. You can come in and worship God. Are you perfect? I am not. Are you righteous? Yes, I am. Why? In your own strength? No. I'm righteous because God has covered me with his righteousness. I'm holy because God has covered me with his holiness. And when God does business with me, he doesn't smell the stink. He's got it all covered up with his own sweet smelling sacrifice. He wants you to be like him. He wants you to be like that. In that tabernacle plan, there was an altar and there was an evening and a morning sacrifice. And so there were sacrifices all during the day, and there were personal sacrifices and festival sacrifices. And so as you look down from the heights on the encampment of Israel, there was smoke always roiling up from the tabernacle. There was always a sacrifice going up, and that's exactly what he's called you to have. Something always burning in sacrifice in your life. Always putting something to death. Always crucifying something. I'm mixing the metaphors here. Always shedding the husk. Always crucifying the natural man. Always putting some part of what your life had been, even things that you've loved that are painful to part with, you've got to put them on the altar of God, and it's offered up as a sweet smelling savor before God. It is a continual burned offering, a continual offering of praise. So Malachi prophesied about us and said, from the rising of the sun, 1 and 11 of Malachi, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. This is a Jewish prophet to the Jewish people. But he said, there's coming a day where my name is going to be great among the Gentiles. And it is right now in 2013. The name of Jesus is great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen. And saith the Lord of hosts. Tonight, as we gather around the things of God, and as we make our way to an altar, and as you lift up, you've been praising and worshiping God. Some of you worship tonight with pain in your body, and as you did, a sweet smelling incense went up before God. We offer him the sacrifice of praise, the offering of our lips tonight. Some of you have been praising, but you got family problems, but you're worshiping God anyway. It's a sweet smelling savor in the presence of God. Some of you got trouble in your life and trouble on your job, but when you come to the house of God, you still worship and magnify the name of Jesus. And when you do, it thunders in the house of God. It gives the devil a black eye, and it's a sweet smelling savor in the presence of God. It's just another day on the threshing floor. Those things are trying to pull me down, but I lift up my hands again, and I lift up my voice again, and I begin to worship and praise God again, and those things fall off of my life. I bring my praise to the threshing floor. I bring my prayer to the threshing floor. Sometimes God knocks it off of me, and sometimes I knock it off myself. Praise God. It's amazing what you can knock off with your praise and with your worship. The prophet said, you got a spirit of heaviness? Put on the garment of praise. You can shake some things off on that threshing floor with your worship and with your praise. I think if I do it well enough, God may can put his pitchfork up. He may not have to strike me. You know, the Bible says that God can lead you by the eye. Here, go there, don't do this. Go here, be that, and you're following by your eye. Or it says he can lead you by the bit. He's going to get you there. And he can lead you by the bit, but the bit's painful. The bit hurts. It's abrupt. It's not as easy to function with that going on in your life. And it's not as advanced a spiritual experience as being led by your eye. Because as he's led you by the bit, there ought to come a day when he can just lay that rein lightly on your neck. And you're like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All you got to do is say, you had to beat me up. Put the fork down. We're okay. You know, he beats you enough with that fork, all he's got to do is rattle it a little bit. Yes, sir. Praise God. 5 and 3 of Ephesians. But fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. Don't do it, Paul said. Don't be involved in it. And then he said, don't fellowship it, and don't eat with them that do. And there are those of us in the house that have had to separate from family, and we've separated from friends, and we've walked away from important relationships in our lives, and it was tearful. And still, we have the joy of God, but there's a bitter sweetness about it, because we've left a lot of people behind. We've left a lot of things behind. 1 Corinthians 5:9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. For then you'd have to leave the world. He said you can't help, but if you ride a bus or catch a plane or work a job or be in an office or go to Walmart, there's going to be sinners all around you. He said you can't get out of them without leaving the world. But he said, I don't want you fellowshipping them. And specifically those who have been a part of the truth of God. He said, I don't want you fellowshipping that. verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. Don't eat with them. Don't play with them. Don't fellowship them. Don't represent them legally. Don't take taekwondo with them. If you don't understand me, don't worry about it. If you do understand me, you're who I'm talking to. The exception about this is when fornicators are on their way to an altar and coming in to live for God, we'll walk alongside them there. And we'll, if they are like the prodigal and they've gotten up out of the pig pen and they've come to themselves and they're on their way back in, we'll put our arm around them and we'll do anything we can to help them. The rule is when they're on their way out, we don't. When they're on their way out or they're down at the pig pen, the lamb, those three lost things in Luke 15, the lamb wanders away innocently. You go after the lamb. A young person or somebody that's brand new about the things of God or some good brother that's just working too many hours or just got too much pressure, or you're shepherding your mom or dad through some valley of sickness and you're just down at the hospital all the time and you're just losing your mind spiritually and you're just getting dull in your spiritual sensitivities. That's the lamb that wanders away. The shepherd went after that lamb and found him and put him on his shoulder and brought him back, and everybody rejoiced. That one you go after. The coin was lost in the house. Same scenario, just in the house, dead and cold and lost in the house of God. But pressure can do that to you, and too much responsibility and too much work and too much pain and too much heartache and devastating emotional trauma can do that to you, and you're still on the pew, but your heart is broken and you haven't had a good touch from God in a long time. And then the woman, the church, gets out the broom and comes sweeping around and holding the light up and finds you and stirs you up, and everybody rejoices because we found the lost coin in the house. But the prodigal said, I'm leaving. I'm going to spend all my inheritance. I'm gone. We don't go after the prodigal. We don't go down to the pig pen. We don't go, oh, what's wrong, Bubba? Okay, how can I help you? How can I be of service to you? You're just going to get hog slop on you. And you hadn't lived until you've sloshed wheat shorts on yourself. You don't even know what wheat shorts are. It's finely ground wheat. You put it in a 55-gallon drum. You pour water in it. It sits out in the hot Louisiana sunshine for however long it takes them to eat that measure of wheat shorts. And while it's there, it's getting fermented. It's making pig wine. I don't know what it's doing. It's making acid, but it'll almost eat the t-shirt right off your body. I've had it. It's strong as battery acid, and the stronger it gets, the better the pigs like it. Why am I telling you this? You don't go after the prodigal in the pig pen. There's stuff in there that'll get all over you. And you're not going to do him a bit of good until he wakes up and says, I need to be back at the Father's house. You're not going to do him a bit of good. Paul said, don't have lunch with him. Don't have a party with him. Don't hang out with him. Don't have coffee with him. And if Paul would have had Facebook, he would have said, don't go on Facebook with him. Don't be texting him. Don't be talking to him. Don't be hanging out with him or with her. And everybody in the house said amen. Amen. Paul said, cut it off. Paul said, get away from it. It's another day on the threshing floor. There's something there that's a predatory spirit. It's pulling people down. And now it's reaching out and it's saying, oh, we want to talk to you. We want you to come over. We want you to be with us. We want to hang out with you. And you know what that predatory spirit wants to do? It'll wind up, it'll go to another apostolic church. And it'll sit down on an apostolic pew and clap its hands and say, everything's good here. Nobody knows me. Well, What that predatory spirit wants to do, it wants to affect as many others as it can. But it from you, and it's touching your life with invitation or with conversation or on Facebook or on texting or on calls or anything else. What it's wanting to do, it's wanting you to normalize this new situation. It's looking for legitimacy. It's looking for you to somehow come back into that circle with it and normalize or legitimize its separation from the things of God. It's like, okay, we have a new normal now, and we want you to gather around and affirm that. But the church says no. Paul says don't do that. When he says don't eat with them, he just told you break all fellowship and all contact with them. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's painful when you love people. And it's painful when you've got long-standing relationships. And it's painful because the whole thing just breaks your heart for a lot of reasons. Praise God. But it's looking for legitimacy. Praise God. Verse 5 in that fifth chapter. Lindsay, come on, we're going to quit here. For this you know, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, I know what the world's church tells you. It tells you it doesn't matter what you do. But Paul says it matters what you do, and you're going to be lost and go to the burn pile if you keep living like that. If you don't straighten up and get this right, you're going to be lost. You can be baptized in Jesus' name 25 times and receive the Holy Ghost every day of your life for 40 years. But if you live in sin, you're going to go to hell. Somebody say praise the Lord. There are consequences for your behavior, and you need to get on the threshing floor and let God break that stuff off and out of your life. Praise God. Don't let anybody, verse 6, deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. They'll say, well, I had to because. Vain words. They'll say, well, I was justified because. Vain words. They're taking a position against the kingdom of God, and they're asking you to join in their folly. But Paul says, no, those are vain words. Don't let those things touch you or sway you. Well, God, I feel the presence of God. Well, you need to make your way to an altar. Well, my God is a God of love. You don't need to be such a hater and a judger. Vain words. I can't change what God has said in his word. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. He doesn't want you to be involved with them. But I want you to know, if you're involved with them, there's a good chance that you're not only going to be involved in what they're doing, you're going to be involved in where they're going. You don't want to be involved in their sin or the wrath of God that's about to come down on their head. You need to get some distance. You let that prodigal stay in the pig slop until God gets a hold of his heart. You let her stay there until God is able to work on her. Praise God. Now, we would have been dealing with this anyway, but I find it very timely. We've had recent developments in the house that seem to fit this template very, very powerfully. But these lessons are true today. They were true 20 years ago. They were true 2,000 years ago. They'll be true if the Lord tarries another 50 years, which I don't think he is. Praise God. Verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light. Walk as children of the light. Get yourself separated and stay separated. Anybody love the message of separation? Anybody love the holiness of God? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let's stand together. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Somebody leaves this place and they're shacked up. No, I don't want to know what they're doing. I don't know. I don't want to know what they bought. I don't know. I don't want to know where they're going. I don't know. I don't want to know if they're going to another church. I don't want to know any of that. I don't care to hear a word about them. The only word I want to hear is they just broke out of the pig pen. They're making their way back to an altar. That's the only thing I want to hear. This is not for everybody. Not everybody can do this. But I have a gift. And I call it a disappear button. You see, because I have poured myself into people. Bible studies, church folks. We've been here 26 years. I've been praying and fasting for idiots. But they're God's idiots, so it's just another day on the threshing floor. And as long as you're showing tendencies of coming in, you'll be dumb as a stump and full of the world, and I'll be there with you. Come on, man, we're going to make it. We're going to do this. We're going to live. I'll preach to you. I'll pray for you. I'll love you. But, son, as soon as you turn your back and you leave the things of God, poof. You say, well, Brother Sutton, you don't love anybody. No, I can't bear you on my shoulder like a cross and work with some new person. I will not get jaded and cynical because you don't want to live for God. I will not let you steal my joy. I will not let you tarnish what God wants to do in the house of God. I believe somebody's coming to live for God. I believe somebody's coming to serve God with all their heart. You may not be the one, but you're not going to be a speed bump for me. Somebody say praise God. Give your neighbor a high five and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live for God. Shake somebody and say, it's another day on the threshing floor. Well, Brother Sutton didn't call me. He hadn't called me yet. It's because I disappeared you. Only God can make you reappear when you're in that file, you're gone. Poof. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to cry over you. I'm not going to miss a meal over you. And when I'm fasting, I'm going to make sure I tell God, this is not for so-and-so. If I'm fasting and I'm in misery fasting and I'm hurting myself fasting, it's not for you. You just eat that pig slop. You just stay in there and root and grunt. When you get ready to come back to the house, then I'll pray for you. And then I'll fast for you. And then I'll love you again. If that seems sociopathic to you, it's a great thing to be a man because we can compartmentalize. And I can put you so far back on the shelf, I don't even know you've ever lived. But son, that's hard. Somebody's going to hell. I am not going to sit in heaven in a rocking chair and weep over people that are in hell. I'm going to be around the throne saying, yay, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. No more dying, no more tears, no more death, no more funerals. God, mighty God, we've made it to the other side. I ain't gonna be studying people that didn't live for God. Well, God bless you. I want you to lift up your voice, lift up your hands, and praise God right now. There's somebody in this house that needs to leave something on an altar tonight. It's been dragging you down. It's been dragging down your joy. It's been dragging down your victory. You hadn't been able to pray because it's laying on your mind like a log. You need to come down to this altar and say, God, beat me with that threshing fork. Separate me from these troubles, oh God. God, give me victory in my life. Help me, mighty God, to stand and to proclaim and worship and testify. Ah, mighty God. Somebody needs to leave something in an altar tonight. Somebody needs to walk away from a relationship. Somebody needs to walk away.